Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
It's going good. I am remote tonight.
You are, because the weather is garbage.
It is. And, you know, actually, like, I was really pushing it earlier. I had to drop Stella off at gymnastics. I have a really good set of winter tires. I had no problem, but, oh, my goodness, there's a lot of people around me. It's like, what is wrong with you?
Today, coming home seemed to be blinker on and move automatically. No looking. No, just put your blinker on and change lanes.
Oh, good luck, everybody. I'm changing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a good idea. I have a mode on my new truck for slippery weather.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, when everybody slams on their brakes as dudes just cut over in front of us,
yeah,
and we all have to slam on our brakes and almost hit them, I got this big flashing impending collision.
Flashes
on my dashboard and beeps like, you know, the red alert on Star Trek, scaring the crap out of you.
My car does the same thing. It's got a LIDAR, radar, or something in the nose of it. The only problem is in the wintertime, my sensor is down by the bumper. Mm-hmm. So if I'm driving in snow, it gets covered in snow, and then it turns off, which also, because it's automatic cruise control, it turns off my cruise control. Not that you want to use cruise control in snow, but it turns off a bunch of stuff when it gets covered. So that's probably what you got. You got one of those little sensors in the bumper.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, the engine fried on my F-150 after 13 years, which I'm not impressed with. So we went car shopping and picked up a new Ford F-150 in all black. Good news being, all my snow tires, roof racks, the whole meal deal, all fit the new truck.
Nice!
So I don't have to pay all that extra money for all of that, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
Trucks today are, well, somebody asked me, what model did you get? And I said, the excessive bells and whistles model.
Oh, yeah.
Because even the base models, they got so much stuff. I want to know why I can't look at my cell phone while driving, but I can sit here and play around on my 12-inch TV that's stuck in the middle of my dash.
Yeah, exactly. And with my concern with all that fancy stuff is that it's just fancy stuff that's going to break.
Yeah. If I can turn my heating system on, but if I want to change which vent it's blowing out of, all of a sudden I got to start tap on the computer screen.
Oh, no physical buttons.
There's a physical button to turn it on. I can turn the fan higher and the heat higher, but I can't say, okay, just the window or just my feet or straighten my face. Right? Like, I can't do any of that unless I touch screen.
Yeah.
Great truck. Loving the truck. I got the all black, so there's no chrome. Huzzah. Tracy's not happy because there's not heated seats, which I hate. There's no leather seats, which I hate. And there's no chrome, because, again, I hate. So, considering I'm driving the truck, hey, may as well make it something I want. Yeah, there's certain things I'm just not big on, but like I say, their base models have things now that just, you know,
just very fancy.
Used to be extras back in 2013.
Yeah,
I bought my last truck, you know. But yeah, now their base model stuff, and it's all these little its and bits, and but there's the modes, and like my dashboard's all digital, and like there's this animation that happens with everything. I turn it on, there's this animation. I switch modes, and there's all these animations of trucks spinning and trucks with trailers and trucks sliding and all this.
Yeah.
I don't need all that. But it's got modes, like there's normal mode, eco mode, sport mode, slippery mode. So, yeah, so I just threw it in a slippery mode today.
Yeah. There you go.
And Herb's your uncle, right?
How long did you have your first truck for?
13 years, 300,000 kilometers, which apparently is most trucks, doesn't matter what brand you get, most trucks are only supposed to last 10 to 13 years.
So that was the Ranger was 13 years?
No, the Ranger was before that. I had that 20 years, 425,000.
20 years, wow.
That's why I was a bit annoyed that my truck died at 13. I still have 7 years left on that.
Should have been checking the oil.
I was. I'm religious at all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but...
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but mm-hmm. You got 13 years from it, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I got ripped off 7.
Exactly. It was supposed to last 20, was it?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. There's no reason a truck... They should not be building trucks to not last longer.
So here's a question it's one of the things I always think of. So how full was the gas tank?
Almost empty.
That's a win.
Because we went to Ottawa and back. So I was under a quarter of a tank because it started happening as we were coming almost home. So I parked it for the rest of the weekend, then took it to the dealer and then back. So there was less than half a tank. I think I had like about 100-something kilometers to empty.
Okay.
So yeah. And when I had the people come and pick it up, they're the wrecker people. I could drive it. It's going to be noisy as hell, but I could still drive it. But
yeah.
I was a bit annoyed that they wouldn't give me more. So I took the foot pads and the carpets, kept all of that sort of stuff, took a couple other little things out and whatnot.
Slashed the seats.
You know. Didn't beat the farts out.
How much tread was left? How new were your tires?
One of them was new last year. So I was thinking, you know what? If I had the time, I would have taken that tire off and put my spare on. And the spare tire was old, but even the rim that the spare tire is on, because it sits up underneath the truck,
it was
rusting. The rim was rusting.
Oh, so it wasn't worth keeping.
It wasn't worth keeping either. So I thought about all that, though. I thought about it, you know. But the thing is they said, well, we'll come and take it. But we got one question is, have you ever had the catalytic converter replaced? No. Okay, then that's good. Because they come, and if you have a new catalytic converter, they won't take it. Because
really?
I guess there's more platinum or whatever in the older ones.
Oh, yeah?
And that's what they want it for. They want it for the catalytic converter. That's so what they get most money for.
And that's something.
And that's why you hear about these people coming out, and their catalytic converter's been stolen out from under the car.
Yeah.
Right? So
you need to put a big metal shield under there to protect it.
Yeah. So... Anyway, so the old truck's gone, and the new Canoomobile number 3 is now in our driveway.
Canoomobile number 3.
Yeah.
The newest canoe hauler.
Yep. Yeah, going all the way back to 1994.
Wow.
It's a long time. Yep.
Yes.
Well, I guess this would be number 4 if you count my 1983 Mercury Lynx.
Oh. That was your first car?
That was my first car, but I never can really... I wasn't into canoeing as much as I was later.
Yeah.
So I don't consider that a canoe-mobile. It just hauled around a canoe. But, so looking at vehicles, when we were out looking at vehicles, looking at all the different types that they got, and so maybe I'll just get a Mustang or a Corvette or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, put a canoe on the roof of that.
Do you remember you and I, when we were going to check out Novacraft canoes, saw, like, there was Broncos everywhere, the Ford Broncos.
Yes.
And we were making fun. So I was in the two vehicles, there was the Ford Raptor and the Ford Tremor. Big pickup trucks, big raised, beautiful trucks. If I could own one of those, if I was rich, I would, but I'm not, so I don't. But in the showroom, they had a Ford Bronco Sport. And at the front, just in front of the front doors, there's these little metal things that you can pull out from the side. It just, like, they flip up.
Okay.
Tie downs.
Oh.
So there's these metal loops that flip out.
So it's
out,
built right in.
Built right into the front fenders.
That's smart. That's handy.
So if you put your canoe or a paddle board or a kayak or something on top, your front tie downs come straight down to those.
Huh.
Like, I don't know who was using their smarticle particles that day.
That's brilliant. That's a good idea. Because, like, I always hated when I, some of my older vehicles, I would strap it down to the, in underneath the front bumper. And so you get all the rub marks from the straps on your hood.
Yeah.
And then, so I discovered these, the canoe tie downs that, like, they have the round handle that goes under your hood, but I didn't like that. So I actually just, I got them, cut them up, and melted holes, and I bolted it right to the chassis, right near the front shock. So it, they just slip under the bumper, but they're mounted right to the chassis. And so that's what I use now. It's like a canvas strap that sticks out from under the hood. But those little flip-out things on the, what is it? It's the Bronco?
Bronco Sport, yeah.
So is it only on the front, or do you get them on the back, or is there a
just
tie
on the
down
front.
On the, yeah?
Yeah, well, I guess the back, you would tie it right down to the bumper, right?
Yeah, or the trailer hitch or
yeah.
something, yeah.
But these come to the side, so they're not directly in your way.
Yeah, out of your window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
But then because you think, how come you don't put these on other vehicles?
I know, right? That'd be a good idea.
Like, I could use a set of those on my pickup truck.
Exactly.
You know, you figure these are these bigger trucks that are going to be hauling some of these, you know,
yeah,
things on
loads.
The roof.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, little middle, they, you know, their features are part of the Bronco's adventure-ready design.
Okay.
So
it's not on all of them. It's just
no.
on a specific models.
Yeah, yeah. So it allows you to secure bulky gear, kayaks, lumber, camping equipment externally,
yeah.
right?
Neat.
But yeah, I wish my pickup trucks had that.
yeah, yeah.
Now, on the Bronco, it says, I think it was a maximum 150 pounds. On each one. But if you were tying down the front of a canoe or a kayak,
yeah.
and you've got the belly straps too, and the back, you're
yeah.
just it's just extra to hold
yeah.
it down in case one of your belly straps breaks or something. Too,
exactly.
Right?
It's the bow and stern line is just to stop it from going somewhere in an accident
mm-hmm.
or just from moving side to side in wind turbulence and
yes.
stuff like that. So the front and the back are just to guide the watercraft from moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's the belly straps that do all the work.
Yeah. So I don't know why they haven't put these on. I wonder if that'll be something that comes in the future, depending on how many people really enjoy it. But
yeah.
Yeah. If I, that would have been
a good idea.
A definite. Instead of all these animated graphics on my dashboard.
yeah. Something practical.
Yeah. Give me something practical I can use.
Yeah.
The difference between my 2013 and my 2025, night and day.
Oh, yeah?
Mind you, the benefits, the seats are as comfortable as my old ones.
Yeah.
Whenever I had a sore back, I could go sit in my truck, and it would help immensely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's one thing I said. If I ever, like, if my truck ever just blows up, I hope I can salvage a seat.
Something I can sit in my
Something
garage.
Something I can just go sit in my garage and like, oh, yeah. okay, my back is so much better now.
That would look great on your front lawn, one
right?
of those seats.
Right? the gas and the brakes are pretty much the same as my old F-150, which is perfect. Because
yeah.
I know Tracy's Escape, when I hit the brakes on that thing, it's like,
yeah.
you know, a couple inches of air and then... So, new canoe-mobile, and yeah, I wish this Ford Bronco, these tie downs, I wish they
were
would
on
put those
other
on,
vehicles.
On other vehicles. That would have been
yeah.
awesome for an accessory.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd just write Ford a note and say, hi, Ford, how are you? Buddies, pal, friends of ours?
Yeah.
Can you, like, aftermarket these bad boys?
Have you looked under the hood to see if there's a mounting point for straps?
Not yet. Been way too busy for all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but
I have the
black rubber round tube things with the canvas
yeah.
that comes out and that webbing.
Yeah.
I just use those. Always have.
Yeah.
They're perfect. That way I can just take those out and and whatnot, throw them under my back seat when I'm not using them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but like I say, all my roof racks, my goal posts, the whole meal deal will all fit. My snow tires will fit. So that's money I don't need to spend. Woo-hoo!
Perfect.
Woo-hoo, as yeah. they say.
And it's nice having a new vehicle.
Oh, yeah. It's got that new car smell and, you know. But like I say, all of a sudden, we had a dog at the vet's. There's money going out. I bought this new canoe that had I known. I'm glad I bought it when I did, because otherwise I wouldn't have.
Yeah. Wouldn't be in the question this point.
Yeah. other things going on too. So it's been a very stressful 2 weeks here, and picking up the new truck there and going for a spin and in it and whatnot. It's just like, and then finding out I was a mortgage renewal behind. I thought we had 7 years left on our mortgage, and we go in there and he goes, no, you only got two.
That's awesome. Well,
happy day. Maybe our luck's about to change. Yeah, stop and buy a couple of lottery tickets at this point. I'm just waiting for the other foot to shoot a drop, and he's going to go, oh, sorry, no, you were right, seven. At which point I will go to the bank and punch him in the face.
Yeah.
So it's been really stressful around here. So, yeah, we got the new truck now. That'll at least – and that's what they're saying. Well, why didn't you get something else? Because there's places we go.
You need
that four-wheel, that high truck clearance. Because when we go backcountry, some of these logging roads and stuff, like in Tomogamy and stuff, to these some of these paddling spots, like a lower car, you are just asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, if you're not careful, you're – well, we know somebody that ripped out an oil pan. And that's, you know, way back in the woods.
Yeah.
Where internet reception, phone reception is extremely spotty.
And good luck.
And yeah, it's not like a main highway where there's people coming along any minute. So that gives us peace of mind to do that as well. You know, like everything we do revolves around having a city vehicle like Tracy's and a truck for those outdoorsy. And that's why I was talking to my boss and said, I don't know how I fell into the trap that I actually would rely on having a truck. You know, like how everything we do. Well, even when we go winter camping now, we bought the bigger tent and everything like that. Yep. And I got my floor. I got the wooden floor that fits in the back of the truck. Yep. And it's like,
you need space.
Everything revolves around the bed of that truck. So, 'tis life, as they say.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Other than that, we're enjoying some nice weather here, some snow. And yes. My daughter, another thing ticked off her bucket list.
Ah, yes.
The earthquake.
Ticked
one more box. The earthquake. There was an earthquake in up in Hokkaido the other day there, and she's always wanted to know what it felt like to be in an earthquake, and now this is the first earthquake she's been that's happened that they could feel it in where they are up in Hokkaido since she's been there. 5.0 where she was. So we do this family chat thing. She says, yep, 5.0 earthquake, checked off my bucket list. To which my son then replies, well, I survived a 5.6 in Punta Cana. Oh, to which dear old dad replies,
not that one this, up each other.
Not that this is a competition, but I've been in two hurricanes. I think I won because there was nothing after that. So, you know what, with all the stress and everything over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of little funny moments like that just to keep us going. And I think these days you kind of need that, right?
Yes.
So tonight I am drinking some of the Nika, the Japanese scotch that I brought back, and eating Lindt chocolate balls.
Excellent.
What a perfect pairing.
It is. Sounds good.
So there's things actually happening out in the world this week, believe it or not. A few things, anyway. Like I say, it's been an extremely busy week here, so. Haven't been out for a paddle in a couple of weeks. My dry suit staring at me like, you don't love me anymore. But have no fear, dry suit. Now that we got the new beastie, then we'll get those roof racks on, make sure they're fitting properly, and we'll get back out for a paddle soon.
Yes.
You heard this thing about the Vatican?
If I think what you're talking about is the, I think I sent you a story about it. Yes, I heard. And I heard that everything was, they are currently studying all of the stuff that they received on Saturday, last Saturday.
So Daryl Nasogaluak says he can look at a kayak and know it's from the region of the Western Arctic. He says, it's unique to this area. There's no other area that used them that had the same horn. He says, as he points to the curved tips at the bow and stern of a kayak, he sees in this photo on a laptop. He's up in Inuvik, Northwest Territory, so he's seeing the picture of this kayak. He says, you can identify one from a distance. When you saw people coming and you saw the kayak, you could tell it was... it was the Inuvialuit. And that was before settlements were established over 100 years ago.
Okay.
So the one in the photo that he was he saw that of the one sitting in the Vatican Museums now for 100 years, he says, it's really well used. Look at the oil stains. It's an original.
So it was actually used for hunting.
Yep. Now, and it goes on a little, you'll hear a bit more about this a little later here, but, it says a kayak's being repatriated to the Inuvialuit, and the years long negotiations to bring it back led to a historic return of items this week from the Vatican's vast archives. Total of 62 sacred and cultural objects from Inuit, First Nation, and Métis communities have been held in vaults thousands of kilometers away in the Vatican Museums, have been flown to Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we talked about this previously. And
we talked about this back in 2022 when they first started wanting to get this done.
Yes, they first started negotiating. They sent a group of natives to the Vatican to look at these items to see what they had. They weren't even sure how the Vatican got them because they had gotten native artifacts from all over the world for a big display way back in 1925 or 1926 or something. And so it's amazing that they're able to have negotiated to have its return.
Yeah. He says he's from the Tuktoyaktuk area, of course. So he says this is where he believes the kayak is from. He says everything you needed we had right here. He's talking about the Mackenzie Delta along the shores of the Arctic Ocean. He says our people were really in a naturally rich area, so they had a lot of time to build culture. And like the kayak, a type of watercraft invented by the Inuit, the craftsmanship was second to none. So he says his grandfather taught him how to build them, and now he teaches the craft to youth in schools with the help of elders and women who still know how to sew the waterproof stitch. So it's a specific stitch, right?
Yeah.
So Nasogaluak says the Inuvialuit used this style of kayak to chase beluga whales in the Mackenzie Delta. He's been told stories by his wife's grandfather how at one time up to 250 kayaks would be in the water at once.
That's incredible.
Before a pandemic that killed many of the Inuvialuit.
So, did he give an average? Did he say what year?
Nope. His wife's grandfather. So that picture your grandfather-in-law.
I'm just trying to imagine if it was like the Spanish flu or something along that line.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a long time ago.
Yeah. It was extremely lightweight. You know, with today's carbon fiber technology, they can probably finally make a kayak as light as ours was. Long, slender, and fast.
Nice.
Kayak was custom fit down to the seat, depending on the hunter's build. Its length measured to reach his reach to handle a harpoon. Frame made out of driftwood collected from the shores. Baleen for ties and covered with seal skin sewn together with sinew. Inuvialuit Regional Corporation, the IRC, says there's only a handful of original Inuvialuit kayaks that have survived this long. Others are sitting in museums around the world, but this one became a mission for the IRC to get back. It's part of our history, our culture, and what it means to be Inuvialuit, says Dwayne Smith, IRC Chair and Chief Executive Officer. And he's been leading the efforts from Inuvik on behalf of the Inuvialuit. He says kayak comes from an area recognized by Canada as a National Historic Site, and to identify the significance of this part of Canada and the contribution that the Inuvialuit have made to the identity is what make up Canada today. They've been working with the federal government, the Canadian Council of Catholic Bishops, and the Inuit Tapirit Kanatami and or ITK and the National Inuit Organization. ITK says negotiations between Inuit and Vatican to repatriate the kayak began in 2022. That's when we had first heard about it and talked about it.
Yes.
Just before the historic visit to Rome by Indigenous delegates from Canada. They met Pope Francis, joined a private tour of the Vatican Museum where they saw the kayak on display. And Smith says getting the kayak back from the Vatican shows they understand past wrongdoings in their approach to Indigenous cultures in the past. The IRC's work to bring kayak home grew into something much bigger. Initially, the negotiation was specifically for the kayak, just the kayak. We want that kayak back. When the Vatican agreed, the Holy See also wanted to include 60 other cultural objects from Inuit and First Nation origins, and the CCCB insisted a cultural object from Métis origin must be included, and that would include all three groups. Partnership grew to include the Assembly of First Nations and Métis National Council, and in November, the Vatican, along with the CCCB, released a joint statement stating that Pope desires that this gift represent a concrete sign of dialogue, respect, and fraternity. The big question then becomes, as you were talking earlier, how did the kayak get there in the first place? 1925, Roman Catholic missionaries sent it to the Vatican, along with approximately 100,000 cultural items from around the world for an exhibition they say was a way to show the church was open to all cultures and to show what daily life was like for Indigenous people in Canada where the missionaries lived. But it's not clear if they were sent as gifts or stolen.
Huh.
Smith says because the kayak's main purpose was to harvest beluga whales, he can't see this kayak being given away.
Yeah, it's a tool. They right? couldn't give it up.
To give away your most valuable tool during the most crucial time would not allow you to harvest your beluga to feed your family and community throughout the cold winter. So that's the whole thing right there is, wait a minute, you sent this as a gift, but it wasn't a gift, yeah. Right?
Did somebody just grab it off the beach? And
well, that's what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the histories of how things went, you can imagine that it wasn't necessarily, you know, a mutual agreement to send that, shall we say.
No, the churches weren't known to be all that honorable back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Smith continues, says, our tradition was if a person passed away, the male especially, they would be buried with all their tools so that they can use it in their next life. So the kayak, the harpoon, the bow and arrow would all be placed on the ground above them.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So that might have been one of the ways the kayak was obtained. Probably other artifacts. So who's to say? Daryl Nasogaluak, he thinks that it's a good thing the Vatican has been looking after it for the past 100 years. So,
yeah,
you know, you look at the positive side, you know, they have been looking
it
after
it. It was preserved.
So it's preserved. And he says, we're going to have the opportunity to finally have one again. It may spark a revival of the use of them.
Yeah.
Very few of them, other than in collections, none survived in the north. I've seen fragments of them, and, you know, the one that's coming back is likely about the same age as the fragments I've seen on the shore. According to the Vatican's catalog, the 62 pieces being returned include 14 cultural objects belonging to the Inuit, one to the Métis, and the rest to First Nations.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. The Métis have, you know, it was noted that there was nothing being sent back for the Métis, and there was some disappointment there, and that's why somebody stood up and said, "Hey, you know what? You might want to include something." And
yeah.
Now, you know, the Métis now hope to develop their own relationship with the Vatican and bring back more pieces. I say a lot of heavy lifting involved filling out permits from every point the precious cargo will travel through on its journey home. So you got to have all that, right?
Yes.
Earlier in the week, they left the Vatican for Frankfurt by truck. Flight donated by Air Canada then flew all the items to Montreal. And representatives from the IRC and the Assembly of First Nations are traveling with the cultural objects. They traveled with them back to Canada. And they'll go to the Canadian Museum of History in Gatineau for examination, which I got to think maybe at some point they might get put on display, which would be cool to go see.
That would be very neat. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
It says where Inuit, First Nations, Métis leaders will get their first look at the cultural objects and decide on their final destination. So, yeah, like I say, before they split them up and send them elsewhere, it'd be nice if they had a big display of that stuff. Kayaks, it's not heading home just yet. There's no facility in the Inuvialuit region, so for now, it will stay at the Canadian Museum of History. We want to make sure it's preserved to the extent that it should be so that it is not further damaged. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a little bit of damage to it.
I saw pictures of it, and there was some damage and cracking.
Yeah.
But you know what? If it sits for 100 years, you got to expect that there's going to be some degradation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, if it's going to be at there's no facility for them to put it in, so they'll keep it at the Canadian Museum of History. So that's an opportunity right now. I got to get the kids up there to take a look at this. This will be neat to see.
If they have it on display.
You would hope they're going to do that. You know what? This is a significant enough cultural items that they may create an entire display of it because there's going to be enough pieces to display, right? So I don't know how long it takes them to plan, lay out, and construct a facility or a display for it, but it shouldn't take that long.
Yeah. They're excited for this time in Inuvialuit history. He says, we need a proper facility that can house it. It's been gone 100 years and can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So big deal. It's a big deal.
It really is.
Yeah. So, like I say, we'll do a day trip, man. If they do at the Canadian Museum of History, if they put out a display with all this stuff, we'll go check it out.
Yeah, I want to go see it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about this. We talk about this since 2022 when they first started doing, going over to see stuff and, you know, being able to actually finally see for our own eyes, not just in pictures. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens.
Absolutely. I'll keep an ear to the ground.
Right? Do you remember 2 years ago when I paddled 12 months of the year?
Was that long ago? It was...
Well, it wasn't last year, so it would have been the year before. 2024.
Well, it was sort of into, 2024, last year.
Or sorry, 2023.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Into the early part of 2024.
So you did 12 months where you paddle at least once every month.
Yeah, it was like early spring 2023 to early spring 2024.
Okay.
Right? And I thought, 12 months a year, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Woohoo! And that couple, I've done it for 24 months now. Oh, well, look at you. One up me. There doesn't seem to be anything that can keep Art and Linda Allier off the water. With their most recent paddling expedition earlier this week, the Cambridge couple, Cambridge, Ontario here, has now canoed at least once a month for 251 straight months.
Okay, that's a long time.
That's just shy of 21 years. So, not only did they one-up me, they beat the proverbial snot out of me.
21 years of doing that. That's 251 amazing.
251 straight months. All started when the pair began paddling during vacations in the southern United States. Then they discovered and joined the Ancient Mariners Canoe Club, a local group of residents 55 years of age and older, who share a love of canoeing, hiking, cross-country skiing, and environmental awareness. A couple years after we joined, the man who founded the club died, Linda says. Right after he died in January, there was a beautiful day, and a few of us decided to paddle down the river in his memory. After that, we started thinking every year before we paddled every month except January. So maybe we'll just paddle every month. And it grew from there. Linda admits some months are more difficult than others. In the winter, they wear wetsuits in case they tip. Every January 1st, Art, Linda, and a group of friends go down the river to check the month off their calendar. One January, the river was frozen over, so they had to drag their canoes to a sewage outflow that doesn't freeze. They paddled out 5 minutes, back 5 minutes. It was the shortest paddle they've ever done, but it all counts.
Exactly. I had to wash the canoes afterwards.
Right? 100% agree, that counts. Cold, Art joked when asked about what it's like paddling in the winter. You have to be very careful.
Oh, yeah.
Some of their warmer experiences have been in Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, and New Zealand. Their 150th straight month fell July 2017 during Canada's 150th celebration. Now, that's lined up just perfect. It's about staying active and engaged as they age. Aside from canoeing, the couple likes to bike 1,200 miles a year.
Whoa.
And go on hikes every Tuesday in the winter. 1,200 miles a year.
Huh.
Wow. You need to have some goals when you retire, Linda says.
I'd say so. Yeah. You know, if it's just getting out for a little bit for a paddle, if we're doing something, and to keep up this record, that's amazing. That's impressive.
When you retire, the years go by so fast. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. But with Art being 81, Linda 79, they're unsure how much longer the paddling streak will last. Regardless, they're thankful for all the memories they've created and the people they've met. Every month's a bonus now, Linda says, and we've had a great time.
I wonder how difficult they found it during COVID. Because there's a lot of concern about people being out and about and stuff like that.
I think those probably would have been pretty short paddles as well.
Yeah.
Or stealth paddles.
Yeah, running from the authorities.
Right. 75 years of age running from the coppers. You're not going to get me, copper! Oh, rebels. Rebels. Yes. Yeah. That's cool.
That's awesome, though. That's amazing.
251 months.
I know, and I keep thinking about it. It's like, sure, you know, like you did it. You did it for 12 months. I'm sure you went to some trouble sometimes. It's like, no, I got to get out. Can you imagine doing that for 21 years? Oh, that's dedication.
I feel like such a weenie now.
I know. Only 12 months. 12.
Yeah, I got these older people looking at me. 12 months. What a putz.
Wow.
I did 12 months with my eyes closed.
That's impressive, though. That's very impressive.
See, oof. It's all about going, just getting out there. Once yeah. you get out there and you get into the swing of it, and you sort of got that mindset, oh, got to do it, got to do it, got to do it, then you start doing it. Yeah. And I'm sure there's times where they said, you know what, yeah, this is enough of this. let's just go do it anyway. We're here now.
Yeah. Right? We've been doing it for so long, we have to.
Right.
And I guess at that point, when you get a winning streak that long, it's like, well, no, we can't just not do it.
Right.
You as we just. Know, recording, like we know, between the two of us, we know from recording, we record every week. I think once in our, 512 episodes, I think there was one episode where we had a pre-recorded something from a coffee tasting or something that we put in.
Yep.
Just because there's one week in the whole time that we couldn't do it.
Yep. And we covered over that, so.
Yeah, and we covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a couple times you sit there and you're thinking, have we done enough of these?
I think about that every week.
Right? Let me grab a beer, talk about paddling, and wonder if we've done enough of these.
Yes, well, exactly.
Yeah, while we're talking about paddling, might as well just record it.
Yeah.
I hope that goes on for quite a long time.
It's quite the streak. It's amazing.
Yeah. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Let's see. Halloween's done, so the witch is on stand-up paddle boards are done. The pumpkin paddling is done. Was there anything in November? Thanksgiving? So yep. The turkeys are done. And Christmas is coming now, so who should appear but Santa Claus and 8 tiny reindeer.
Yeah.
So, keep your eyes out for Santa Claus coming out on, paddling. There's always the get-togethers where the Christmas paddles, the Santa Claus paddles. Everybody dresses up Christmassy and goes out on the water. More in the southern states and such where there's, no hard water season.
Yes, not so much up here.
It's a bit. I mean, we could do it if we got ourselves some reindeer and just hooked up a canoe to the back. We could do it. But, do you want to risk the reindeer on the lake? No, I don't think so.
Have you ever seen a reindeer run?
They run goofy.
Really weird.
Like, their feet go out to the side. Like, their feet do a clockwise rotation sort of thing.
It's like they can't bend their knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
If they ran on two legs, they would look like a Tauntaun from Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. That's all I'm saying. And if you don't know what that is, Google it. Because we're nerds.
It's all the youngins out there that don't know what a Tauntaun is.
What's a Tauntaun? What's a Star Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a video game.
Yeah.
Well, Santa Claus in Hawaii. Santa Claus took his annual vacation to the iconic Outrigger Waikiki Beach Resort to spread aloha and holiday cheer, traded his sleigh for an outrigger canoe, and paddled and surfed his way to shore on Saturday, December 6th. This year marks 20 years.
No.
He's been doing this for 20 years.
Well, does he have a red Speedo?
I did not look. The Santa Claus I saw had a Santa Claus suit. What he was wearing underneath is his own business. We don't judge on the show, Derek. We are not Judgy McJudgersons.
No. But isn't that something? Like, he's been doing this for 20 years.
20 years, yeah. Locals and visitors welcome Santa to Waikiki, kicking off his Hawaiian getaway with an exciting meet and greet, photo opportunities, and a chance to secure their spot on the nice list.
Uh-oh.
Annual event is a beloved tradition for many, including Santa, who gets to kick back, relax, and enjoy the views and Hawaiian sun before his busy season.
Huh.
Meanwhile, all those elves up north are always complaining, oh, yeah, that bit of fat so-and-so taking time off and going to Hawaii. Well, we're all working our fingers to the bone. Annual event, it's you know, sort of gets it. And see, we also always heard, yeah, when Santa's done, he goes on vacation for the rest of the year. So wait, now he goes on vacation before and after? Well, kind of lazy if you ask me.
I know.
It was also a chance to give back as more than 40 hosts participated in a Waikiki beach cleanup, collecting 192 pounds of trash.
That's a lot.
Yep. For the first time, Santa's paddling tradition was extended beyond Oahu to Maui, where outrigger Keanapali Beach Resort hosted an inaugural Santa arrival by canoe. Actually, that's happening December 19th. Guests and their families are encouraged to welcome him in and take photos on the outrigger properly following his arrival to shore.
Cool.
Because, yeah, you don't really want to do that when he's still out on the water on those big beaches or big waves, right?
Yeah.
Get him, guys! Santa. In the news, Santa got mugged out on the surf.
That's very cool.
20 years, yeah. So it's a cool tradition. You know, it's sort of like a little Santa Claus parade sort of thing that comes into the beach and everybody's waiting and it's a good party day and they use it, like I say, to get people to help clean up the beach of trash and stuff. So that's pretty good.
Now, so only, this is basically becoming a traditions episode.
Right? It's tradition. So, yeah, keep your eyes out for Santa paddles. Get your Santa stuff on and go. Go, 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 go. Have fun. Do some paddling like a Santa Claus.
Yes.
Speaking of paddling, the main man, Kevin Callan himself, little clip on his social media sites, being Instagram, Facebook, and what have you. I will be hosting another Voyager canoe trip on Lake Superior this coming summer through Naturally Superior Adventures. The route is different from last summer. It will be from Lake Superior Park along the rugged coast, where we will camp on some of Lake Superior's best beaches and visit pictographs and other indigenous spiritual sites like Devil's Warehouse Island and Nanabush Rock. There will be some inland hikes along the coastal hiking trail as well. It's going to be incredible. A wild Lake Superior Voyager canoe adventure with the happy camper Kevin Callan. Discover a remote water access only shoreline featuring stunning geology, sea caves, ancient pictographs, spectacular beach camping, all while supporting the Trans-Canada Trail. So, Derek, what are you doing July 7th to 13th?
Well, see, I think we had discussed this previously. I thought I should really go and do this.
Right.
I'm trying to locate any info on cost pricing.
$2,100 a person.
See, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a whole lot.
A big chunk of that goes to Trans-Canada Trail.
Yes.
So, trip includes qualified guides, all meals and snacks, to which I would just have to put the caveat, you don't know my ability to snack. Group safety and communication gear, group camping gear, park fees, applicable shuttles, sanitary and kitchen gear, and a trip map. And a Kevin Callan. You know, it is pretty cool. It's a bit pricey for the majority of people, I'm thinking. But a lot of people, you know, this is sounds like something cool, a great place I'd love to see. And Kevin Callan, we all know him. Like, it'd be kind of cool to go and spend a few days with him. So they'll put the money out. Highlights of the Lake Superior Voyager canoe trip include an inspiring mix of Ojibwe cultural sites, fascinating geology, beaches, dramatic headlands, and sea caves. The sea caves would be cool.
What are the dates that his trip is going to be?
July 7 to 13.
7 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find it, his specific trip.
Oh, Naturally Superior Adventures.
NaturallySuperior.com. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of opportunities for exploration on and off the water. So we'll camp on some of Lake Superior's best beaches and visit pictographs and other sites. You'll leave offering of thanks to the original inhabitants of the wild space. You can also stretch your legs from our campsites along the coastal hiking trail and experience the remoteness of the water access only shoreline. Voyager canoe is a 36 feet long, 5 feet wide, very stable, no problem standing up in it or diving off the side. So, I'm out! See ya, suckers! Yeah. Easily holds 13 paddlers plus a ton of gear, well-suited to new and novice paddlers. Trip includes 2 experienced wilderness guides and chefs, all meals, tent accommodations, all kitchen, sanitation, first aid, and safety gear. Trip is offered in partnership with the Trans-Canada Trail with 18% of trip fees supporting the organization's ongoing development and stewardship of the world's longest network of recreational trails. NaturallySuperior.com for more information.
Yes.
Sounds cool. Like I say, if I had the money, I'd jump in there at one point. But as we said at the beginning of this episode, I'm just hemorrhaging cash right now.
So. Yes.
Unless there's a, oh my God, I won the lottery in my future. Sorry, Kevin. Yeah. Well, love you, buddy, but I won't be attending this year.
Yeah.
Derek isn't, so he might.
Yeah. I seriously considered it last summer.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like I could afford it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm seriously considering it, but I think it probably is already booked up.
I don't know.
For last year, Kevin said that it was booked up within a day or so.
Yeah, it went pretty quick last year.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what the last year's trip was like, if you go to the KC Happy Camper YouTube site, there's a 5-part series about the Lake Superior Denison Falls trip that they did. And that's the Bill Mason area as well, Denison Falls. If you don't know who Bill Mason is, go to the National Film Board of Canada, put his name in, and you're going to see films like Water Walker and Path of the Paddle, stuff like that, all canoeing up in that area. Gorgeous, gorgeous. I can put the Water Walker in the background and listen to it and know exactly what's happening on the screen.
Yes.
I've watched it that many times.
Yeah.
You know, so, go check that out. KC Happy Camper on YouTube. Check out his 5-part series about Lake Superior, Denison Falls. You'll see everything they did last year, the fun they had, how the camp was situated and stuff like that, and get a feel for it. And then, go to NaturallySuperior.com. For more information about this trip this year. And if you feel like it, sign up.
Yes,
and if
absolutely.
You do go, we should, if you're listening to this and you do go on that trip, go to Kevin Callan and say, Sean and Derek sent us. And you know what? It will just annoy him. And he won't know why, but it will annoy him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean and Derek sent us. Why? I don't know. They just said to let you know. And he's going, what? Why did you send these people? Not telling you, Kevin. Not going to tell you. That'll be good. As much as I like to go on one of those trips there, like I say, my wife has this thing about vehicles and roof over our head and bills being paid and stuff. Right now, what are you going to do?
It's all good time. Exactly.
So maybe next year. Because I got to think, if it sells out fast 2 years in a row, they're going to do it a third year.
I'm looking at the availability and it's sold out now.
Is it really? No.
Yeah, it's sold out.
Wow. Is there a waiting list?
Maybe. I bet there would be.
Yeah.
Yep.
See if there's a waiting list. If you're interested, see if there's a waiting list. Get on the waiting list.
Yeah.
Or pre-book for 2026.
27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something that's already sold out.
Yeah, I clicked on the link here, and it says it's zero availability.
For you.
She's booked up. For me. They
flagged your IP, buddy. Okay, yeah. Sean or Derek try to join this trip, flash this signal. Yeah. Sorry, guys, all sold out. Love to have you, but no.
Yeah.
just no.
There's a blackout on my IP address.
You've been blacklisted for Kevin Callen trips. Oh, Kevin, what has he done to you? Could you imagine if we showed up on one of his trips?
That would be a hoot. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
At some point, he's paddling away without us.
We're floating in the water.
Right? Come on, paddle faster. I'm trying to water ski. good times. That's like all I've got this week.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add this week, but next week I want to talk about something that's interesting that's coming down the pipe.
Uh-oh.
I just don't know enough about it.
Uh-oh. Any hints?
Christmas?
Christmas is coming.
It'd be satellite communications.
Satellite communications?
Mm-hmm.
Involving phones and other things?
That is correct. I know a little bit about it now. I read a couple articles on it today. So Rogers did a trial this summer, and they had over 1 million users trialing the system and how it worked, and it worked quite well. They are, I think, falling on the tail of, was it Verizon in the States? Whoever it is, they were about a month or 6 weeks ahead of Rogers in the trials. And so it's been very successful. And you can now sign up for a package where you can have coverage right up to, it's right up to about Churchill, Manitoba, or along that latitude. And so it's, right now, if you, whatever package you get, like if you get the, there's four tiers of Rogers. If you get in anything in the top two tiers, like the third tier is 12 months free satellite communications through Rogers as an introductory offer. And if you get the top tier, which is like $80 a month, you get 2 years of free satellite communications through Rogers. So they trialed it. It's working. The only thing that I don't know is, does it work for both Android and iPhone? Because I know that iPhone does have capability for satellite communications, but I don't know if Android has that. And that's the one piece of information that I'm missing that I was trying to figure out. And I was going through their website. They don't seem to specify a specific type of phone that can be used. So it kind of leads me to believe that any phone on their network will work. So I thought that was quite neat. So there's a lot of, and you know, that works. You know, I've been in my neighborhood where I currently live. I have to go on Wi-Fi communications because I don't have good cell signal here because, well, they're going to be building a new tower sometime in the next 8 months or so. But, I don't have good cell coverage here. So I always have to be on Wi-Fi on my home phone.
Right.
Or my cell phone. So anyway, so Rogers is like, you can be up in Hudson Bay or James Bay, or you know, anywhere's up north. And like, there's the one of the women that they interviewed about it. She has family in northern Manitoba, and she had very clear coverage up in areas where she normally doesn't have cell coverage on these back roads and stuff out in remote areas.
So you don't have to go rent yourself a satellite phone.
No, you can use your current phone if you're on the Rogers network, and you can have satellite communications, texting, phone calls, and so on.
So you're going to talk about this next week?
Well, I hinted at it. But like I said, the only piece of information that I wanted to look deeper into was does it work on iPhone and Android?
Right.
Google Pixel and whatever, right? Depends what phones you have. But I couldn't see any restrictions. I didn't see any notice of restrictions on the on phone types. So
we're getting closer and closer to the Starfleet comm badges.
I know.
Right?
They did say that nothing north of the latitude of about Tuktoyaktuk and Churchill, Manitoba, that's poor coverage up there, but Roger said that they plan on having a satellite that'll cover that area within the next 2 years. So,
well, good thing I'm not planning to go up there for at least 2 years. You know, Arctic, no way. Can't talk on my phone. Forget it.
But that's impressive. I thought that was really impressive that you'll have cell phone access in anywhere, pretty much anywhere in Canada.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
I mean, just because you have the coverage doesn't mean you have to be on your phone all the time.
True, but in an emergency, if you're stuck out and need help.
From an emergency point of view, this is awesome.
Which is what iPhone can currently do all on its own. They have that emergency service available that with iPhone, but now Roger is going to be able to carry it. It'll be the first carrier in Canada that can do it.
Perfect.
Interesting, eh?
Yeah. Find out if it goes on everything or not.
Yeah, I will come next week. We'll talk about that because if you are up north somewheres, if you're on a remote canoe trip, it's another opportunity for if you cannot self rescue, then you can call in help and say, listen, this is the situation. I'm doing okay right now, but I'm working my way into an area where I can save myself or whatever. Or hey, something's gone wrong and I've broken a leg or something. Thing, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people have these satellite communication devices, right? So I have the Zaleo, and other people have other devices, and so this is another tool that you can have in your tool belt if you come across some sort of calamity, if like a hurricane or tornado on your camping trip,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Find out
also. It's also a battery issue, but you know what? When I have my phone out there, it's just emergency use anyways. Like I make notes of the trip on my phone and take pictures. That's usually what I use the phone for. But
yeah,
now I can call for help.
That's what I like to use mine for. Just pictures and the journal thingy.
Yeah.
Journal app.
Yeah.
So
exactly, yeah.
Excellent.
Mm.
All right. That's all you got this week?
That's it.
That's all I got. Oh, I did do a brisket on the smoker.
Oh.
A 22-pound brisket.
And if I had been there this week, I would have had some?
Yep. Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
But I will say, 22 pounds is on the verge of needing two people to do it. It was huge. It was good. I'll just say that.
Right on.
Alrighty. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or you can download and stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream and download all our episodes there. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Sprest. We'll see you next time.